Week 18, commercial real estaters. A couple quick announcements, self-serving announcements here. Until we get sponsors, anybody out there want to sponsor us, let us know. We take that rev, get that revenue. This Thursday, NAOP Spring Concert Series, Trinity Junction's playing at it. So come talk some real estate and listen to some tunes.
That's actually going to be a baller event. It's awesome every year.
Yeah, I've never been, so really? I'm pretty excited. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, it's good. That and comedy night, have you ever been to that?
No, uh-uh. Is it pretty good, too?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's as good as the comedians kind of make it, but right. It's like everybody's there, so you're having a blast.
So this will be as good as the music makes it, so it's all on me now.
Yes.
Or the first 45 minutes is on me.
Turn the pressure on, baby.
Also, additionally, we are having our Matador annual meeting with our investors and broker partners and people like that on May 15th here in Frisco. If anybody listening's interested in attending, let us know. We reserve all of our spots for our LPs first, and then past that, we'll have some spots to fill. Yeah. So we will start creating a list if it's something you'd be interested in. Just hearing about what we see in the market, what we see going forward, and what our goals and kind of what we're looking at. So anyways, all right, financial news this week. Jobless claims forecast 215K. Previous was 212. New home sales comes out this week. The forecast is 670,000. The previous was 662,000. So that's kind of it on the financial front for this week on news. U.S. debt went up.
Oh boy.
Not 19. $20 billion.
Okay.
So, yeah. And then, you know, they have this big Ukraine aid package they're fixing to send out. So it'd be interesting once that goes, if that gets passed, like what is this thing shoots up? So
stop.
So stop. $20 billion. Could you imagine going in debt $20 billion last week?
No.
It's just another week in government.
oh, my God.
The Dow was pretty much unchanged last week, closing out at 37,986. S&P down 3.1%, closing out at 49,67. The NASDAQ down 5.8%, closing at 15,282. Crude came down to $83.14 a barrel. That's down 3%. The 5-year pretty much unchanged. It is at 4.54 and the 10-year is at 4.49. So
4.49. Did you see that graph on Twitter that one guy put out? Like between 4 and 5, things are working.
Mm-hmm.
And then between 4 and 5, 4.5 and 5, things are breaking on the 10-year. And then past 5. It's broken.
It's broken.
I was like, this is pretty morbid.
I'll tell you what, I'm really glad I don't feel like we're too beholden to having to need debt, because we seem to just get it on owner finance every time.
Yeah, yeah. When the profiling is right. Yeah.
Yeah, when the profile's right,
when the profile's right, yeah.
So that makes me somewhat optimistic.
And it's not like the seller financing terms we're getting on. I mean, they're better than what the market's yielding, but it's not. Like, the deal would survive with market debt.
Right, has to.
Yeah.
All right, real estate stocks down on the month, but last week, real estate, REIT Diversified, REIT Mortgage, and REIT Healthcare led the way. REIT Healthcare was up 1.31%, Mortgage up 1.65%, and Diversified up 1.74%. You know, something else we should probably track?
Uh-huh.
Home interest mortgage rates.
Yeah, they're above 7 this year for the first time.
Yeah.
I saw a headline.
I probably need to find somewhere to add that to this, because it's just kind of interesting. That's very consumer driven.
Yeah.
So,
well, I saw another stat on Twitter. I guess more than roughly 70% of the country is under a 5% mortgage. Mm-hmm. And then like 20 or 30% is like under 3. And so somebody kind of extrapolated that and was like, no one's going to move. We're going to artificially create a housing issue, because if you bought your house at $600,000,
mm-hmm,
at 5% debt, well, values haven't really come down that much on homes. So you buy the same house, let's just say it's $550,000 instead of $600,000.
Yeah.
Well, debt's now 7%.
Yeah. You know, I saw an article with Wall Street Journal, and I didn't read it all, but I think the synopsis of it was, and so this might be totally irrelevant with what they're writing about, but it's talking about older couples are not selling their homes.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Because they're like, well, I can sell it, but what I got to go get into is like the same price, not more.
My parents are like case in point.
Yeah.
Like, huge house. And I'm like, Dad, sell, like, go get you a townhouse. He's like, well, two things. There's one, he's like, you still got all these, like, we all come back every summer. But yeah. He's like, why would I do that? I have to pay the exact same price and like half my square footage.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm just going to stay in this big ass house.
So it'll lock up. It's going to lock up. But we're still in a housing shortage.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw this morning, D.R. Horton had a record quarter.
Pumping them out?
Yeah. And they're cranking them.
So. What do those things typically go for? Like 200,000?
I think a D.R. Horton house is 300,000 to 400,000.
It's affordable.
Yeah.
Do they do the financing? You have to go get seller. You have to
go get it. Okay.
They don't do like builder deals or anything.
They
like
might.
That.
I don't know. Yeah. So, all right. Well, we'll add mortgage to this. Okay. All right. Term of the week brought to you by. Oh, see, we could have sponsors and be like, who wants to sponsor the term of the week?
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
I think Bella's working on getting us a Zen sponsorship.
Really?
We're trying. I mean, I don't know what that really means, but like, doesn't every commercial real estate dude dip Zens?
Yeah, but you and I don't dip Zens.
So,
the one time I did, I about fell out of my chair.
Yeah, I haven't dipped in 15 years, man.
Good for you. So. That's awesome. No, I just, it like immediately threw me into a tailspin. I was like, just sweaty, cold.
I used to dip a can of Copenhagen a day, though.
Oh, gross.
Loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it.
I don't mind it, but like, I don't know. I don't have the time. And it's like.
It was an alternative to smoking.
True.
In college, everybody dipped.
Yeah.
In football.
Yeah.
Like the whole, we'd watch film, everybody would have a dip.
Yeah. Where I went, everybody smoked.
Oh.
It's just kind of, I think it's kind of, where did you go? Was it dipping or was it smoking?
Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well, what's the term of the week, Nardizzler?
They're not playing nice in the sandbox.
Oh.
I had that fed to me by a leasing agent in Houston.
And who was he referring to not playing nice?
Leasing agents, tenants, and asset managers.
So.
Sandbox being we have a renewal or a new tenant,
uh-huh.
And they're not all cooperating. They're not playing nice in the sandbox to get it done.
Hmm. That happens. I'll tell you what, asset managers, you better be ready to just be a little flexible right now, I think.
Yeah.
I think leasing is going to soften for a bit. So play nice in that sandbox, guys.
Yeah.
You know?
It's better to have a tenant than not to have a tenant.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree. Well, in news, commercial foreclosures skyrocket in Texas. Bum, bum, bum.
Where is this?
It says up 129% year over year with 55 in March.
Oh, what asset class?
It's mostly office. Distress, let's see. March commercial foreclosures in the state increased by 129% year over year and 31% from the previous month, BizNow reported, citing the property data from Adams Data Solutions. California, New York, and Florida were the only states with more foreclosures last month.
New York, and Florida.
Yeah, that's interesting because I could see California and New York, but Florida's a big market, but like, and this is strictly from industrial, but I ran some math last weekend Florida, but when I looked at just Orlando, Tampa, Miami, that triangle versus the Texas triangle is twice the size in industrial square footage. Mm-hmm. So now a lot of this, you know, let's see. Commercial foreclosures in Texas totaled 55 last month, following 42 in February and 56 in January. Nationwide, there were 625 in March, up 117% year over year and 6% month over month. Let's see. The office sector. Foreclosures and other signs of distress have been especially apparent in the office sector, which continues to get hammered by remote work movements that's driving up vacancies and available sublease space to historic highs.
But like, everybody we know, like I was talking to a big institutional guy on the asset management side last week, they're really pulling in the reins on the work from home thing.
So I think it's work from home like a day a week.
That's kind of what he said. They give him like a day a week.
Yeah, you can kind of have some flexibility, but like, man, I'll tell you what, I think it was very, you know, we've seen it and we tried to be cool about it. And I think it just makes most sense to be, you just can't get shit for what we do. No. If you were like coding and doing AR or something like that, that can probably be done remotely.
Hey, Angie's job.
Yeah. Yeah. But to the same degree, like
she likes to be here.
So she loves to be here. I mean, yeah. like we're sitting there, go through when everybody's sitting down at the table going through AR here in a minute, you know, everybody knows, okay, what do we got to do this tenant? And everybody can, you know.
Well, the thing that I think she gets is, or she likes, is because she's hearing all the numbers, but then she's like, oh, I'm hearing the stories of Jeremy, Will, and Joey, and Dylan talking to leasing agents, or she's just like absorbing. She's like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't just a, hey, this guy's past due on this amount on this Excel sheet. She's like, she can hear everything kind of bounce around.
She gets context.
She gets a ton of context.
A lot of context is lost from work from home.
Because if not, she could just be on the phone at home pounding away on somebody to pay their bill or whatever.
Yeah, and they're like, I just talked to so-and-so or whatever. And
you lose it all.
Okay, also, I think office just, man, they're going to figure out something with it. Investing before the all clear sign. John Gray on Blackstone's $10 billion apartment deal. So Blackstone just bought, or they're buying a $10 billion deal with Apartment Income REIT. So essentially the gist of it was, hang on, let me see this. We look at long-term structural shortage that's out there and say, if we can buy high-quality real estate assets in favorable markets at good prices, that makes sense for us. And that's what I mean by investing before the all-clear sign. So, again, I need $200 million if anybody's interested. I want to buy really nice assets that have bad leases on them and that are, you know, but these are like $50 million deals with multiple tilt wall assets and we're buying them at the right basis. This is essentially what Blackstone's doing. They're like, we don't care about rent. As long as we buy a great basis in this deal, we're going to buy it.
You need to be down to party, though, for 10 to 15 years.
Yeah, and Blackstone can do that. They probably have a 10-year fund. They probably have a couple extensions on it to get out of stuff. And
I'm like, this weekend when I was in, on Friday, I was in Houston. There's multiple deals out there like that right now, 80, 90 a foot. I'm like, damn. Yeah. We don't have the right capital structure to take those down.
Yeah.
And Dylan and I are looking at them, and you're going to see them here later. It's like, that's nice.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
We should buy that. I can't buy that.
Right.
So,
well, we'll just continue raising money, Wilbur.
Yeah.
Find.
Or we just flipping it by ourselves. It's just accumulated internally.
Could do that. Then everybody would be like, well, why didn't you bring that to us? Well, because you wouldn't have bought it. But you bought it. Well,
yes.
How's the investment committee going to go these days? I'm buying it. You buying it. So, no, I think there's some long-term play there, though, on that stuff. I subscribe to his theory. So, and lastly, this came up a couple times with me last week. The market has arrived. Investors flood Grayson County amid chip plant investments. So, I guess there's a lot of buzz of people going up to Denison and Sherman.
Dude, I don't see it.
I think you could probably do residential development up there. I think you could do that.
Yeah.
But I just... I don't know. I'm just not interested in it.
Like Brazos Residential, big multi group here in town, bought a deal up in Sherman.
Yeah.
I think that works.
Probably does.
And it's work. I think it's like workforce housing or like, I don't know what the categories are, but just call it.
That's what
lower middle income.
They call affordable housing now workforce housing.
Okay. I didn't know that. Yeah. So, but like, you know, I don't know, two bedroom probably goes for like $1,200. That's pretty affordable.
Yeah.
I think you probably make pretty good money out there.
Probably in that world, and there's probably a warehouse play on it. Me and Adam Graham were having this conversation the other day.
Oh, you are?
And he's like, would y'all look at investing up there? And I was like, man, I don't know. I think you got to develop it up there, like, and we don't develop, so.
Or our capital structure now is slightly more institutional, so we have to get out at one point. There's some flexibility there, but like, I don't know if the play up there, it might be too long.
Yeah.
And you might cash flow really well, but if it's like us local people, maybe it's good. But I was talking to a guy at CB, and he said, hey, similar comments on Austin, like Taylor, Hutto, that whole area.
Mm-hmm.
But my thing is like, okay, these big groups like Samsung or whoever, Siemens rolls out this big $30 billion package.
Yeah.
What happens if a global geopolitical event occurs in Seoul, South Korea that affects the deal over here?
Yeah.
You know, they've got to hit certain metrics to get all the public funding. And if it's a $30 billion deal and you only get through $2 or $3 billion, like what happens?
Right. I don't know. It's like, well, they're like, oh, the population in Denison's grown to 26,000. I was like, man, that's like a corner over here.
Yeah.
Like,
that's my neighborhood.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Probably not for me, but I don't know. I guess we'd probably look at something up there, but it'd have to be very interesting. I mean, we looked at that one deal in Denison, yeah, but the only reason we were looking at the deal in Denison was to buy a building in Denton because we had to buy both.
Yes.
And yes. I just couldn't.
I would. Yeah. 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 Even Denton, sometimes I'm a little like.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. Depending on the product and the basis, but. Yep.
So, well, that's all I got for this week. Will, you got anything to add?
No, there's a CoStar article very similar to that one you just referenced that I was going to bring up.
Yeah.
So we're along the same lines.
So, everybody go play nice in the sandbox this week. Get some deals done.
So, remember, the world's small.
It is very small.
Play nice in the sand.
That's right.
See ya.
See ya.